all-star during the film clips of the 60s and so on, was certainly the cockiest. And he was the one who was always ready to take a shot, and he really didn't give a damn most of the time. And
we respected him for that, for sure.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of people of the generation loved it, too, because he was, what's the word, he was just a crazy, and he's someone probably we really needed. So therefore, when I was about ready to interview him, I was shaking because I, first of all, it was a Beatle, which is a little bit bigger than life, and number two, I didn't know if I was ready for him to be an incredible smartass and make me feel horrid, but instead he came on as warm as can be and was only more than happy to answer any question, including the one that he's probably very tired of now, the old Beatle reunion question, which was still a, you know, which is still, was still a question up until tonight. But no, he was open, he was willing to talk about anything, the days with the Beatles, of course, the Walls and Bridges LP, which at that time was very, very important to him. And except for Shea Fish, Larry, I guess really that was the last studio album we saw from him up until Double Fantasy.
Yes. Double Fantasy itself was a controversial, is a controversial album.
A very controversial LP, of course. The lyrical contents really depicting the way of life that he is spending right now, or has been spending with Yoko Ono. Here is a man who, in the latest Playboy interview, which I'm sure you've got down there, which is the best account of a conversation I've seen in Lennon in years, where, quite frankly, he doesn't give a damn, he didn't give a damn today about what anybody thought of him. He just wanted to be a house husband, a daddy, a husband to Yoko Ono, and just leave me alone. And the first thought I got when I heard the news was, here was a man who devoted the last 5 years to Sean, his second son, and then got snuffed. And I realized just how fast this sort of thing can... it doesn't matter if you got $150 million. And I guess a lot of those thoughts went through my head tonight.
John, that thought about living a normal life leads me to something that's happening here. I've got a piece of that show cut up here.
Mm-hmm.
We have a crew back behind the scenes here cutting up pieces of that show to bring Lennon thoughts around.
Oh, good. So you're going to run some of that later?
Right now.
Right now?
Just on that subject, in fact. Here it comes.
Okay.
It'll never be the same again, and once is enough, thank you very much, as being a Beatle and all that. You know, we couldn't even go to the movies or go out to dinner, right? We spent our lives indoors. But now I love it, you know? I mean, people just say hi or, you know, what's cooking or something, and a few people ask for autographs. So mainly they just sort of wave or shake your hand, and I get about and I go to eat. And I'm enjoying all the things I couldn't do for 10 years, you know?
So there's the thought that you were expressing, John.
Yes, for sure. He loved his life since the days of the Beatles. He didn't really like the notoriety towards the end. And he, quite frankly, liked the fact of being able to walk down the streets of New York and not be not have people come running up to him and screaming sort of things at him. He felt like a normal human being. And just like any normal human being, I mean, he was assassinated. And it's a great sadness tonight, really a great sadness for all of us. One of the thoughts, you know, when I saw the Playboy interview, he takes a shot at everybody in this thing. And my first thought was, oh, God, who did he offend that would hate him enough to set this up? And then, of course, your news came across that it was, at this point anyway, just a crazy with no motivation.
Apparently, yes.
Yeah, but perhaps more of this will come out tomorrow. But it's I look at an item that I have here, a comment that he made recently, where he says, it's fear of the unknown of what it is, and to be frightened of what it is sends everybody scurrying around, chasing dreams, illusions, wars, peace, love, hate, and all that. It's all illusion. Unknown is what it is. Accept that it's unknown, and it's plain sailing. Everything is unknown. Then you're ahead of the game. And, of course... He was totally unknown tonight while I was waiting for him when he returned to the Dakota.
John, thanks for your thoughts.
Thank you, Larry.
John Donaby, who is probably one of the saddest among us tonight, because he's actually spent time talking with John Lennon and getting into his mind and sharing it with all of us tonight, as he did 5 years ago, as John went into seclusion for 5 years to raise Sean and be a house father. There was a song on the Hey Jude album that has particular significance at this point because John was with Yoko when he died. A John Lennon tribute. On the night of his death, gunned down by a local crazy in New York City, right around fashionable Central Park area, right in front of the building where John lived, the Dakota Building. John Lennon dead at the age of 40. And the tribute comes on Chum FM. ...104 Chum FM, on the night John Lennon died, Revolution Number 9. He's off the double white album displaying the production sense that John Lennon and friends brought to the world. Revolution from the Hey Jude album, and Revolution 1 from Double White. From Sgt. Pepper's, being for the benefit of Mr. Kite, and Ballad of John on Yoko from the Hey Jude LP. Larry Wilson here at Chum FM, a station built by John Lennon and his followers. A generation and more mourns the death tonight of John Lennon, shot by this nut in New York. This was the guy who said the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ. He's been proven right, I think. A very controversial man in his time, and even in death, there are some questions. It happened in New York City, right outside the place where Lennon lived. God, past tense, the Dakota Building. And we have a report here from newsman Dave Slyer in New York City with some more details on the actual crime itself. And that's coming up shortly.
On the Road with Pearl. Over the years, a lot of cars have run up a lot of miles keeping time to Janis Joplin on their Pioneers. Pioneer Car Stereo Systems. Who says you can't take it with you? Pioneer Car Stereo Systems and Pioneer Car Stereo Speakers are available and on display at Hacker Auto Radio, 1909 Lawrence East between Pharmacy and Warden. Hacker Auto Radio, for the best sound going.
Cold 45 beer. Cold 45 beer right here. Now you tell me, isn't it the kind of beer that goes with what's going on?
Christmas carols or hardline rock, whatever you'll listen to over the holidays will sound better on good stereo equipment. And that's what's on sale now at Tabanj Electronics in Downsview. For example, the Optonica SA5201 45-watt per channel receiver with air check control and more lists at $480. But it's now $329 at Tabanj Electronics, 4373 Steels, one stoplight west of Jane. Tabanj Electronics, specializing in top in-home and in-car stereo and video equipment at affordable prices.
If you're looking for great live entertainment, look into the Jarvis House and Spats upstairs at the Jarvis House. Beatles music performed by the Grotty Beats, and now through Saturday. And downstairs, the Jarvis House, the exciting R&B sounds of the Rejects through Saturday, starting Thursday. At Spats, it's Oliver Heaviside through Wednesday, and Rendezvous Thursday through the weekend at Spats. Spats is in the Ascot Inn on Rexdale Boulevard. The Jarvis House, 101 Jarvis Street. Check them both out soon. 205 with Wilson, taking a little long to get it over with tonight. Ingrid Schumacher will take you through the night. A John Lennon tribute right through the night here at Chum FM. He was one of the most influential people ever to come into the world of music, and he was killed by someone described as a nut in New York City, right outside the Dakota Building where John lived. He had been at the record plant recording with producer Jack Douglas, and he and Yoko were coming back. The report now, as promised, from Dave Slyer in New York City. Again, John Lennon dead at the age of 40, shot by an assailant who is now in police custody. Here's the report from correspondent Slyer.
First crowd gathered on Central Park West in Manhattan. They couldn't believe the news. John Lennon was shot. Then came even worse news for music fans. He was dead. According to police, Lennon and his wife, Yoko Ono, were getting out of a car and going into their fashionable apartment, the Dakota, on Central Park West at West 72nd Street. They were in the courtyard of the fancy building when suddenly a man arrived and started shooting at least five shots, and Lennon was hit three times. He was rushed to a nearby hospital, and then came the announcement shortly after that he was dead. Police say they have a suspect in custody. At least one officer described the man as a local weirdo. They said it didn't look like any kind of robbery. Lennon has lived in the building for several years. It's a building of fashionable tenants, including Leonard Bernstein, the symphony conductor, and many artists and writers.
That's a report from Dave Slyer in New York City. Now, the NYPD were at the scene in a matter of minutes. The gunman didn't run. He just stood around, according to one policeman. Lennon apparently staggered into his apartment building after the actual shooting, and policeman Jim Moran was in the car that rushed Lennon to hospital, saying that he was shot point blank. His shirt was red with blood. He was semi-conscious on the way to hospital, where paramedics were waiting for him at the hospital door. Lennon's record producer, Jack Douglas, reports that he and Lennon were at the recording studio, the record plant, earlier in the evening, and that John left around 10:30. He was going to get a bite to eat and then go home. He went home and reportedly was walking toward the apartment building with Yoko when it happened. Lennon was shot to death, apparently in the back. The first report said shot in the back by a man described as in his mid-30s or early 40s, a pudgy man who eyewitnesses said had a smirk on his face as he was being taken away by the police. John Lennon died of wounds to the chest, left arm, and head. So much for the shot in the back theory earlier. Roosevelt Hospital found it impossible to revive him. Yoko was with him when he was shot and was with him when he died. The hospital people tell our reporters who have phoned down that she was very distraught, understandably, and could not believe that her husband was dead, as indeed we can't believe that John Lennon is dead. The policeman I mentioned earlier who was with Lennon says he didn't have any last words, that he simply mumbled when he was asked if he was John Lennon. The man who killed him apparently had no previous encounters with Lennon, although John had lived in New York for some time. And the dream is over. John Lennon dead at the age of 40. A John Lennon tribute all night long and further on Chum FM. .104 Chum FM, winding up the rather tragic Larry Wilson show tonight with John Lennon singing Across the Universe and I Dig a Pony from the Let It Be album, and number 9 Dream that is on the Shave Fish collection, as well as other places. It's been a night of just utter shock throughout, I imagine, the world. I've heard from Toronto in a few ways. It's on machine number 2, Ingrid. I'd like to play a tape a listener just phoned in. You know, we've been talking about please phone in and have some thoughts organized that you'd like to share with somebody. And a thought came from this young lady who is, she calls herself of this generation.
I first saw the Beatles in 62 in England, and I've been with them ever since. And right now, I feel like a drowning man, 18, almost 20 years of pictures are flashing through my mind. And there's just one thing I thought of when, you remember when John and Yoko were in Toronto doing their Love-In concert in 1969, and only one man could unite millions and millions of people simultaneously with prayers of love and peace, and he did it. And it's sort of ironic in his death, he's united millions and millions of people in their grief and their love for him. But he's still uniting people one way or the other. And I just wanted to say, I hope they don't give that maniac's name. He sort of reminds me of it's like the Kennedy thing and Martin Luther. Somebody, some insignificant maniac did this because he wants to be known as the man who killed a dream, killed John Lennon. And I'm sorry, I'm just...
Thank you for your thoughts, love. What was your name?
My name's Holly Diamond.
Thank you. Holly Diamond with those thoughts that make a lot of sense in this time when nothing makes sense. Nothing. John Lennon, dead at the age of 40 in New York, shot in front of his apartment building by someone crazy.
Screwball, as they are calling him.
A local screwball.
And we've had...
Ingrid's been... Let me first say, Wilson says good night. Not that it is, but I'll be back at 10 o'clock on Tuesday. And Ingrid Schumacher has been doing a little work here while I've been sitting playing records for you and taking listener calls. Ingrid's been doing a little investigating and has some words from New York, I guess.
What the reports are in New York at this point, and this has basically come across WNEW FM in New York, there are about 400 people in front of the Dakota, that building where John was shot last night. I guess that number will be rising tremendously as the early morning wears on. And at about 1:30 a.m., just about an hour ago now, John's body was taken away from Roosevelt Hospital in New York, taken to the morgue. And nothing as far as Yoko goes yet at this point. She left the hospital about 10 or 20 minutes after the wagon left with John at about 1:30 or so. And there's no reports yet as to where she has gone or where she and Sean have gone. The reports that are coming out of New York City at this point say that there were 5 shots fired. There have been several stories running rampant about the man who shot John Lennon. This gentleman who called me said that the story that the people in New York were running were that a guy was flew in from Hawaii to do this deed. And apparently the security guard of the Dakota building had said that he had recognized this man and that he had been hanging around the apartment building itself down around the ground for the last few days or so.
This guy who
shot John Lennon.
Ooh.
This was a security guard who said, I have seen this guy. He has been hanging around here for the last few days.
Hmm.
I don't know if premeditation has gotten into the story before now.
No, it hasn't really been
that's
mentioned.
That's the flavor of this, you know, for sure, that someone was flown in from Hawaii to do this and had been hanging around the building for the last few days.
That's more than premeditation. That's assassination.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, in your talk with New York, what you were able to learn the radio down there is saying, that doesn't really go with the police's description as a local...
Of just a local screwball out to do anything he could that evening. No. No, it doesn't. But then, at a time like that, at that very moment, what else could the police say? That would be the first obvious thing that you would say.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't right away jump the gun and say that, you know, he had been flown in or that it was premeditated or anything like that. So that would be the first thing that they would jump on right away. It's going to be interesting over the next little while to find out exactly what is the story behind this whole disaster, as it really is, to the rock and roll world and to all of us, too. I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a joke, you know. The radio was on real, real low, about 11 o'clock, and all I heard was Lennon dead at 40, and I thought, what? And right after that, there was, a commercial, and I thought, what? What was that? What was that? And I flipped around the dial and turned on the TV, and there it all was, and it was so hard to believe. It's really a shock. Man gave us a lot of good music, and this is just one of the songs that was a Lennon-McCartney composition, but was flavored definitely by Lennon more so than McCartney. From Chum FM.
Here I stand, head in hand, turn my face to the wall.
This is 104 at Chum FM in Toronto, and several things that were Lennon-McCartney compositions that Lennon did the vocal work on, and a few of these songs you can just tell by the lyrics and just by the general sounds of them that were more Lennon-influenced than McCartney. Norwegian Wood, I Feel Fine, Love Me Do, I Want to Hold Your Hand, and You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. I was just on the line with Chum FM's Kelly J, who was one of the very, very fortunate people who not only met John Lennon, but worked side by side with him. Kelly?
Well, I'm not exactly sure of the date. I wish I had the album in front of me, but we were in New York doing the KE32746 album, the last Crowbar album. And at about 3 o'clock in the morning, Lennon was in Studio B at the record plant, and we were in Studio A. And he asked us to come into the studio. He came into our studio, and we were back and forth the whole time we were there. And he asked us to come in and sing and clap hands because he needed some background voices. So we went in and spent the next couple hours with him recording and clapping hands and laughing and doing whatever. And then the following night, I was doing the monologue of the trilogy of the Rocky Mountain trilogy on our album, and the producer, Bob Ezrin, thought it would be good if I got a little juiced. So I was drinking Southern Comfort, and I ended up guzzling a whole half a bottle of Southern Comfort, and needless to say, I did the monologue at the beginning, and then I got real drunk and real sick. And I staggered into the bathroom at the record plant and was bringing my soles of my shoes up into the toilet bowl, and Lennon came into the bathroom with me and was rubbing my back and patting me and helping me and got wet towels for my forehead. And just a beautiful guy. I mean, anybody who would stand and go through something like that with you. And he was telling us all these incredible stories, and he got my mind right off it and took me back into the studio. I thought at the time, you know, that it was a very... He was... And at Hawkins' place, when he went with Ronnie Hawkins, he stayed at Ronnie Hawkins' place just as Crowbar was getting together, just starting. And he was out at Ronnie's house out in Streetsville just before they embarked on the peace tour around the world, and Ronnie went with him. And I remember stepping out of the bushes one night, the first night we met him with, he loved skidoos, and he was skidooing all over the property, and stepping out of the bush with one of those little laugh bags, and handing him the laugh bag as it was laughing and saying, "Here, brother, may this serve you well." And he giggled and laughed, and he just loved that thing, and he took it up and gave it to Pierre up in Ottawa. I hate to think of a world with no more John Lennon.
It's a really strange thing, Kelly. Just last night, as a matter of fact, Paul Fisher gave me the Playboy interview, the part one of John Lennon's fabulous interview, he and Yoko. And it's really amazing how you really don't know what he's all about, you know, how you miscalculated this man. Well, you would think different, of course, since you had worked with him. But people like myself who just saw him at a distance, heard his records, that sort of thing, and finding out what this man was really all about and what the Beatles days were really all about to him.
Yeah, you lose perspective looking at somebody that far away. I mean, the Beatles were always a face on Ed Sullivan, and they were just incredible idols from a distance. But, I mean, up close, the guy was just, as is Paul, and I hadn't met George or Ringo, but Paul was the same, too. They had great humility. They really handled him. John especially, I mean, I remember going past the studio doors a couple of times and hearing him screaming at the musicians because, in fact, you can almost hear it in the beginning of the last cut that Larry played, Across the Universe. He was just yelling at these studio musicians to get it, demanded that it would be right in his feel and as he wanted. It's just... Well, we're shocked.
Chum FM's Kelly J reminiscing back to the days when he worked side by side and even had some conversations in the washroom, so to speak, with John Lennon back in those days. We've got more music from John Lennon on this very, very difficult period of time, not only for me, but for, I know, all of you. And I do apologize for not picking up the phones as often as I'd like to. Hang in there, I'll get to your calls. We'll be back with more John Lennon music in just a moment.
Say you having one of those, I'm just not going to work without something to eat mornings. One of those running late, shaving cream on your best tie kind of mornings when cooking for yourself might be downright dangerous. Well, 7-Eleven knows all about that, and that's why we're here waiting for you with a fresh cup of coffee and a sausage and biscuit sandwich.
Hungry cow,
Now, you know how good 7-Eleven coffee is. If you don't, well, why drive another mile without finding out? We got a fresh pot brewing for you at 7-Eleven. Good things to go with it.
Hungry
And one of the best things that ever happened to 7-Eleven's coffee is our sausage and biscuit sandwich. Two sausage patties, two country good biscuits, too good to miss. And participate in stores.
The time is 2:44 on this Tuesday morning. Very, very different Tuesday morning, to be sure, for all of us. I thought we'd play some music now from the Help LP. In fact, the title song. In this interview that I was mentioning before, John basically confesses a lot of things in this interview, and one of the things he talks about is the Beatle depression during the Help period. And that song, as he looks back on it, or as he looked back on it, basically says that they were all crying out for help for one thing or another. During the movie, John figured that he was very, very fat, very insecure, and he felt completely lost within himself. And that's what basically he was singing about on this song, even though he figures he did not, you know, consciously know that at the time, but subconsciously that is what he and the other three Beatles were thinking of at this point in time for the Help record. This is the title song from Chum FM. That's the title song on 104 Chum FM of the Help LP that came out in the summertime of 1965. Well, as will happen all morning long and certainly all day long today, new information keeps coming out, and we do have Brian Thomas, who is busy getting new things all the time. Yeah, and you've gotten something sort of startling, I see.
Well, New York Homicide Chief James Sullivan, Ingrid, says that reporters, at least has told reporters, that they're holding a Hawaiian resident in the Levin shooting. He's identified as 25-year-old Mark Chapman, who gives a street address in Hawaii. Now, Sullivan says that the man has been in New York City about a week and had been hanging around the Dakota apartment building where Lennon lived. Chief Sullivan said earlier this week that Chapman approached Lennon with a copy of his new album, asking for an autograph. In the lobby of the building last night, he addressed Lennon by name, Mr. Lennon, and then fired the shots. Latest reports are that there were 7 wounds to the head and chest and arm. Lennon was dead on arrival at hospital. So again, the man being held in the shooting and death of John Lennon is 25-year-old Mark Chapman, reportedly from Hawaii. Now, here's Going Down on Love. From Walls and Bridges, the LP from 1974, and here is John Lennon.
Got to get down on my knees. Got to get down.
On 104 at Chum FM in Toronto, John Lennon, and that is from the Imagine LP from 1971. And Give Me Some Truth, the truth that he seems to have found in the last 5 years of his life anyway, as he became house husband, self-admittedly, and enjoyed every last second of it. A lot of you have been calling and sharing some unique and beautiful thoughts with us this morning, and we have one such caller who just called about 5 minutes ago and related something to me that I have on tape here, and I'd like to play for you now.
It can hit one hard to realize that when a great man passes, when he ups and dies, we are left alone without his life, love to watch, to criticize. We wonder why he could be taken, how we ourselves could be so cheated, how our Lord could be so mistaken in taking this man we know he's greeted. But can we feel outside ourselves to reach and respect the personal grief felt by his family, the ones themselves, that we won't allow a private release? We tend to feel the tears we cry for the one who touched us from so far are for the man, but how we lie we've been vain without this star. For we knew not his loving embrace, nor private humor, nor private thought. We've never created his smiling face, nor made gift for him of what we've bought. So let us put our grief for this one into perspective to show our love. For he was not father, nor was he son, yet not just a man that we have heard of. He was a beetle, immortal, we thought, part of our history, our dreams, our delight. And now he has fallen in a battle he fought, and we couldn't help or join in his fight. We feel as though we shared in John's life. He gave us his talents. We gave him his fame. Shouldn't we think, as we cry for his wife, that he died for us, he died for his name?
We have a portion of an interview here in which John talks about meeting, or rather, I'm sorry, in which Yoko talks about meeting John Lennon for the very first time.
I mean, I'm very amazed to meet somebody like John, who's like a kind of replica of me, and at the same time, a little bit extra something, you know, and it's very beautiful. I mean, and the thing was, I was doing things alone, you know, and my big problem was loneliness, you know, I mean, a lonely fight, really. And now we're together, and we're doing it together, so it's easier. And I'm really very thankful. It's really the best luck I've had, you know, in my life, so to speak, I think, in that sense, yeah.
Yoko Lennon on meeting John for the first time. This song comes from the Imagine LP as well. It's a song I know that John Lennon must have sat down and wrote with a heart full of love for Yoko Ono. And it is called Oh My Love from Shem FM. Forward Shem FM with some more things from Imagine there for you. That was Crippled Inside. And before that we heard How Do You Sleep, which at the time seemed to be a big bad slam against Paul McCartney. But in reality, Lennon says that he really didn't mean to be very harmful or spiteful or what have you in that song. It just sort of came out. He didn't mean to be all that callous or anything like that. And he says, besides that, Paul took some shots at me too. And Oh My Love, obviously a John Yoko love song put to music and overheard by those of us who have the pleasure to hear that song. Oh My Love, How Do You Sleep and Crippled Inside, all from the Imagine LP. We've got more tape here on John Lennon talking about various different things. And this one, interestingly enough, is his views on corporal punishment.
I don't believe in corporal punishment is the answer. I can understand people thinking it's the only way to deal with them, because I understand those people. I don't think they're right, because it doesn't help murderers to hang them or help violent people to be violent to them. It is all they understand, but it doesn't. I don't believe violence begets violence, you know, and you can't kill off all the violent people or all the murderers. You'd have to kill off the government.
He always seemed to have that sort of idea toward the end, that the end of the Beatles' musical career and throughout his solo career as well, that it was really time, as human beings, for those of us involved in the human race, and that's you and me and everyone, to get together and stop fighting and just love one another. And, hey, we're in this together, and we have to make it really work. And I think this song is a song basically about that sort of theme, mixed in with a lot of other things as well. It's called Come Together from Shem FM. .104 Shem FM off the Walls and Bridges LP there. That's Whatever Gets You Through the Night and Mind Games just before that. And we do have another portion of a John Lennon interview in which he talks about that very song, Mind Games, to us.
The initial title, Mind Games, came from a book which I was sent about a year ago. And it was a beautiful, interesting book. And they asked me to write an intro to it, which I did. And then a year later, this sort of came out of a song, although the lyrics are not really anything to do with the book, the lyrics itself is a mind game, meaning, well, as Yoko puts it, to quote her, you know, man was dreaming of flying for thousands and thousands of years before we actually flew. And so our or my projections, I always try and project as positive as I can, although it's pretty hard sometimes, but mainly I try and project a positive image because I think that's what we'll get. Whatever we project, we'll get. So in mind games, I'm sort of talking to all those other game players around the world, wherever they are, just to let them know I'm around and I'm saying hello to them.
The late John Lennon commenting on the tune Mind Games. We have yet another caller. We have several of them, as a matter of fact, here who have expressed some wonderful viewpoints and some very interesting ideas and some thoughts that come from deep down inside. And sometimes it takes something like this to get those thoughts to come out. But I'm really glad that you are calling me and giving me your thoughts. It's very, very important. So do continue to call. I'll answer the phones. Just be patient. I'll get to your call. Just don't worry about it. This is one of the callers that I just spoke with, as a matter of fact.
I was just thinking before that the first time I ever heard John Lennon's name mentioned was my mother was arguing with my sister a few years back. My sister wanted to buy a Monkees album, and my mother was trying to talk her into buying Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And as it worked out, my sister ended up buying the Monkees record. And
boy, your mother must be a pretty hip lady to suggest that. That she buy a Beatles record, you know, rather than a Monkees album.
Yeah. I was reading also on the back of Shave Fish, John Lennon quotes Dr. Winston No Boogie, and he says, "A conspiracy of silence speaks louder than words." And I don't know, I think a lot of people are going to be very quiet for the next few days. And I think it's really great what you're doing today. I mean, A lot of stations are just sort of.
Am I start now? Okay. Well, my name is Tim Bolton, and I'd like to say that John Lennon was a type of man you might say wouldn't harm a fly, or so to speak. Like, he stopped publishing records in 1975, and his son gave him an influence or an idea to ask him why he doesn't produce records, and he got an idea to write one more album. The album came out. He got a hit single from the album before it came out. He started to make a comeback, and poof, finished. You know, he just quit. Just like in the 70s, like I just like to say, like in the 70s, okay, Keith Moon died, and then Bon Scott died, and then just recently John Bonham died. Now, John Lennon. And I don't know the man who wrote it, but like he said, all good things must come to an end. That's all I have to say. It's really tragic. It suddenly, like, I just got off the phone from my cousin in England, and he's a Beatle mania guy, but he especially liked John Lennon. And when I told him, he didn't, like, it's what, 8 o'clock their time. 8:30, and he didn't believe me. And I said, "Well, okay, just wait till the news comes and see for yourself." Because it happened so, I told him it happened so tragically. I just heard it about 11 o'clock. So he said he'd keep an eye out, you know, listen to it. And some people were rocking around. Well, I guess that's all I have to say, but I'm getting all misty-eyed here.
As we all are. We have another report that just has come in from another caller who has heard a few things that are going on as far as New York radio stations go, where this whole tragedy happened. One of the most interesting things that we have just heard is that Paul McCartney can't be found. Now, they're trying to locate Paul McCartney to break the news to him, and they can't find him. His manager is aware of it, but they can't find Paul McCartney at this point, so he's either heard about it already somehow on the radio or television or what have you, and secluded himself somewhat, or he is just, you know, sleeping and refuses to answer the phone or whatever. But as of yet, there has been no response from the McCartney camp at all, and as I mentioned, Paul McCartney just can't be found to be told at this point. Either that or, as I mentioned, he has been told and he's just disappeared. There are at this point anywhere from about 500 to several thousand people in front of the Dakota, the apartment building that was John Lennon's home, chanting, "Give peace a chance." Many, many, many people. They're expecting a lot more at this point. "Give peace a chance" is what they're chanting. From Shaved Fish, more John Lennon on Shum FM.
Karma's gonna get you. Gonna chop you right in the head.